It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. I'm a little bit under the weather. But the fantasy football season stops for no one. Certainly not Roto World superstar Evan Silva, nor me, Ross Tucker, the former journeyman NFL offensive lineman, as Evan likes to point out every once in a while if he's not giggling at my Tommy John ads. Anyway, it is week 7 in the National Football League, and I know why a lot of you came. Probably not to send us email questions, although we will get to your email questions if you send it to us. Ross@rostucker.com with a sponsor confirmation. I know why you came. You came for Evan's quarterback streamers because they were unbelievable last week. Evan, I think I got a tweet from somebody. And by the way, I should mention he's at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. And the podcast itself is at RTF Podcast. But I got a tweet that the three you put out there last week, Stafford, Kaepernick, and Fitzpatrick, not exactly murderer's row of quarterbacks, all were finished as top 7 fantasy quarterbacks in week 6. Take a bow, my friend.
Yeah, and how about you? I mean, where's my apology? You were making fun of me on the podcast. You made fun of me on Twitter. I mean, I you need to apologize.
For what? Saying I thought you were crazy?
No, I'm just kidding. Look, we have, you know, a lot of data now on how good and how bad defenses are. And, you know, we're trying to pluck quarterbacks off the waiver wire. The quarterbacks are on the waiver wire for a reason, because they haven't played well to this point. And, you know, we're not telling you to go pick up Tom Brady. You know what I mean? We're searching at the lower end, and we're targeting defenses that are bad. And all our guys hit last week, and we'll try to stay hot this week.
Yeah, I mean, in all sincerity, Evan, picking Colin, and I know it's streamers, and I know you're looking at the defense, but picking Matthew Stafford, the guy had just gotten benched, picking Kaepernick, it was really, really impressive. And you know what? While we're on the topic, why don't we just get this out of the way so you can get your giggling out of the way right now. Tommy John underwear is awesome. Think about things in life that you've upgraded, and once you actually upgraded your phone, your house, your car, whatever it is, your girlfriend, when you finally upgraded, think about how much better you felt. How many times in life do you do something, you get something a little bit nicer, and you think, oh my gosh, I wish I had done this earlier. That is what you will do when you try Tommy John underwear. It is a life changer. The legs never ride up, which is important for me because I have gargantuan thighs. The undershirts, I don't know what material. They told me one time when I talked to them what the material is. It's unbelievable. It is the coolest, nicest, best-feeling undershirt of all time. And right now, if you guys go to TommyJohn.com, you can check out their complete line of underwear, undershirts. They got awesome socks. I know sock game and having cool socks is important now. They got all that as well. Plus with us, with Evan's code, use promo code FEAST and you get 20% off your first order. That's promo code FEAST for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. So a lot of times when I endorse something, they'll send it to me first. They'll send me a pair so I can check it out. Okay, yeah, that's cool. I'll endorse that. Not only did I do that with Tommy John, I use the code FEAST to order more. It's that good. TommyJohn.com. Use the code FEAST. Let's roll, Bri.
Next meal.
Thursday night football, Evan Silva. It is the San Francisco 49ers, and the suddenly, from a fantasy perspective, hot Colin Kaepernick hosting the Seattle Seahawks, who finally gave me something from Jimmy Graham in one of my leagues. Thank goodness Jimmy Graham finally, I, by the way, I had a losing record in both my leagues coming into week six, Evan. I won both games by 40 some points. Totally dominated. I'm now 501 league. Go ahead.
Did you play Jonathan Stewart? Because I didn't play him anywhere.
I think I did play Jonathan Stewart. And I'm now 3-3 in the Fantasy Feast League. Matthew Kelly,
I'm 6-0.
I'm
6-0.
Are you really?
Yep.
You're such a jerk off. Anyway, well, you should be 6-0, dude. You spend every second of every day on this stuff.
That's true.
Good for you. I'd feel bad for you if you had a bad. I'm 3-3, and considering that's all Fantasy Feast listeners, I feel pretty good about that. Anyway, Niners and the Seahawks, talk to me. Is Jimmy going to deliver again? What about Carlos Hyde? What about Marshawn? What do you got on this one?
It's a rough one. It's got a Vegas total of 42 points, tied for the lowest of the week. It's in the last five 49ers Seahawks games, none of them have gone above 40 points. So, you know, a lot of trends pointing to very low scoring. I know Colin Kaepernick has played well in back-to-back games. I think he's going to struggle in this one. In his last five games against Seattle, he's failed to top 175 passing yards in all five of them. A ton of interceptions, some lost fumbles, 10 sacks taken in his last two games against Seattle. And Seattle's defense isn't quite as good this year as it has been in years past, but I still think this is going to be a rough one for him. Carlos Hyde, his foot was – I don't know if you watched the game – last week, but Carlos Hyde's foot was very clearly an issue. He was ineffective on the ground. He had to miss some plays in the second half. You know, he's a guy who needs a bye week, and now they're playing on a short week. You know, I just you're hoping for a lot of volume to get you some fantasy points, but you know, you should not have high expectations for him. Anquan Boldin coming off back-to-back 100-yard games. He can still play. That's good. But the Seahawks have started to use Richard Sherman in shadow coverage of opposing number one wide receivers a little bit. We saw that in week five against A.J. Green, who had a couple of big plays to open the game against Kerry Williams. And then Richard Sherman helped put the clamps on him the rest of the way. You know, I mean, I think this is a game where San Francisco does well to score 17 points, and then they'll hope that their defense can limit Seattle's offense.
Yeah, I mean, that stat about it going under 40 every time is very interesting, and I think that will help me on the Even Money podcast that I'm going to record with Steve Fezzik tomorrow. Let's move on.
Next meal.
The Vikings are at the Lions, and Vikings kind of interesting. You know, I don't know that Bridgewater looks as good as I was thinking he was gonna. Peterson, I pointed this out on Monday, Evan, on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He had 60 yards, but 23 came on one carry. So how we feel? I mean, obviously, if you have Peterson on your team, you're going to play him. But as far as a daily matchup for Peterson in this one, and it really feels like, I mean, by this point in most leagues, I'm assuming Stephon Diggs is already picked up.
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, I think, might be the Vikings' number one wide receiver. He's tied with Mike Wallace going forward. He's tied with Mike Wallace for targets over the last two games. Diggs only started one of them. His snap rate rose to 82% last week. You know, his game matches Teddy the way that Teddy Bridgewater plays better than Mike Wallace's does. Mike Wallace kind of a straight line-ish vertical guy, and Diggs a little bit quicker. He'll run higher percentage routes. You know, I think that Diggs right now, I would be surprised if Charles Johnson came back and was more than a guy that they used as a number four. I think that Diggs has solidified himself as at least the number two and maybe the number one in Minnesota. And this is a Lions pass defense that is one of the worst in the league. Football Outsiders has them 29th in pass defense DVOA. Like Diggs, like Bridgewater as a streamer, I think Mike Wallace is not a terrible play just because he has that big play ability, but he's kind of boom or bust. And but I love Adrian Peterson's chances of bouncing back here. The Chiefs have played really good run D this year. The Lions have been up and down, to be kind. And in week two, these teams played, and Adrian Peterson had over 190 total yards, averaged over 4.6 yards per carry. Didn't score any TDs because Zach Lyon vultured him, and Teddy Bridgewater had a 1 yard touchdown run, and Kyle Rudolph caught a 5 yard touchdown pass. So that's a lot of red zone production that just kind of, you know, unluckily went to other guys as opposed to AP. I think AP bounces back big this week, and you could kind of play on recency bias in daily fantasy. And, you know, he burned people last week, so a lot of people will be off of him. I think this is a week to be on him.
It you really are amazing, dude. I mean, I don't know how many other people out there would remember every touchdown from the week two Vikings Lions game and be able to recite them like that. Truly amazing. As for the Lions, talk to me about their running back situation. Zenner now on IR with the collapsed lung. I don't like the sound of that for any human being, of a lung collapsing. In terms of Abdullah, is he back in the doghouse? What does it mean for Theo Riddick? People are picking him up left and right. Is that a smart move?
I watched the Bears side of this past game, but I have not watched the Lions side yet. So I don't really have – I mean, it's hard for me to say anything concrete. I know people want, you know, strong opinions on everything. But my sense is, without having watched the last game, that, you know, I don't think that the Lions suddenly turned around their entire offense in 1 week. But, you know, you can read my column on Thursday, and I'll have much stronger thoughts about them. I mean, Calvin Johnson had 10 for 83, one against the Vikings in week two. Xavier Rhodes has gotten off to a really slow start. And, you know, Calvin is always belongs in your lineup. But the Vikings have played good pass defense since Mike Zimmer really took over as head coach, and the Lions have struggled to generate passing game production against Mike Zimmer's defense in their three meetings so far. I just know that, you know, statistically, I think that Matthew Stafford is probably more of a fringe fantasy starter this week. The Lions running back situation is still tough for me to say. Again, I haven't watched what really occurred there last week. You can read my column on Thursday night.
Wow, okay. So I see what this podcast is about now. Just saying, read my column. Look, I am not into people that promote things or plug things, okay, Evan? I am very opposed to that. Oh, man, let's move on.
Next meal.
The Saints are in Indy. Saints got their second win. Breeze looked terrific. Ben Watson is another guy getting picked up all over the place, Evan.
Yeah. You know, the Ben Watson game, just based on what the Saints have done in their other five games, certainly seems like an outlier, but he has played well. I mean, he has caught like about 80% of his targets on the year, which is a really high number for any position, even a running back, where they, you know, where they run like really high percentage routes. But Ben Watson has been a factor. It just, you know, the usage, the volume really cooperated against Atlanta. If you're looking for a tight end streamer, you could do a lot worse than Ben Watson. But it certainly looks like an outlier based on what we've seen so far. The Saints passing game this season has really revolved around slot receiver types. You know, Willie Snead, Brandon Cooks is really more of a vertical guy, the way that they try to use him, but he's small. And running backs, and Mark Ingram has been catching a ton of passes. You know, I think we'll see that continue. And it makes sense against the Colts, who have big, you know, physical press corners right now with Greg Toler healthy and Vontae Davis healthy. You want to kind of attack them inside the numbers. So, look, this game has shootout potential. And Drew Brees, I don't think he's been playing great recently, but he's throwing a ton of passes. And, you know, I think he's a pretty darn good fantasy start. I think Willie Snead is still a guy that you want to keep in your lineups, especially in PPR leagues. I think he is moving into that number two wide receiver role, and it wouldn't surprise me if he, you know, led the Saints in receptions the rest of the season. Brandon Cooks is going to be pretty much boom or bust, and to this point, he's been more bust. He's just a third receiver in fantasy, and you know, Willie Snead works inside a little bit more. They try to create big plays to Brandon Cooks, but you know, he's small, he's super young, and their offense really gets very little going down the field at this stage of Drew Brees' career.
Next meal.
We'll get to the Colts on the AFC version of the Fantasy Feast podcast, which we record right after the NFC version, but we can't post them both the same day because some of your podcast applications freaked out, so we post it shortly after midnight. It's the Rams, Evan. They are hosting the Cleveland Browns. Rams coming off of a bye. Obviously, if you have Gurley, you're playing him. I mean, can you imagine Gurley the way he's playing against the Browns' run defense? I mean, I don't know how he's priced on daily. I have to check it out, but I guess everybody will be on that, but still.
Yeah, I was actually going to try to make it the entire week without mentioning Todd Gurley's name so that I could just put him everywhere and, you know, hopefully nobody against me plays him. But I think the secret is out. Yeah, this is a plum spot for Todd Gurley, to say the least. You know, this is a game where the Rams should be able to run the ball over 30 times, and Nick Foles should only have to pass it, you know, 20 times. And that's the way that the Rams want to play. The Rams should be able to dominate with their defense. Your boy McCown started to get a little antsy, a little frenetic in the pocket against Denver last week. I know Greg Cosell often speaks about how he thinks, you know, just from watching the All 22, that the Rams defense plays faster at home. So in DFS games, you know, I like the idea of playing Todd Gurley and the Rams defense this week and not really looking at any of their pass catchers.
Then let's move on.
Next meal.
I will be in Nashville, Evan, where the Atlanta Falcons come to town. Falcons had the extra weekend off after playing Thursday. You know, they moved the ball pretty decent against the Saints. It was just, I mean, the dude snaps the ball into his butt. You know, Tevin Coleman fumbles, the Matt Ryan fumble with, you know, DeMarco hitting it. I mean, it was a comedy of errors, really, for the Falcons last time out. And Devontae Freeman and Matt Ryan still kind of, you know, put up pretty good numbers. The Titans defense is a little sneakily better than people give them credit for, I think. And it doesn't look like right now, based on at least one report as of 11:35 a.m. Eastern time on a Wednesday, I doubt Marcus Mariota plays. So putting all those pieces together, I think we know what the deal is with Devontae. What do you think about Matt Ryan and, I guess, some of the other receivers like Hankerson? I'm assuming Julio and Devontae are obviously starts. I guess you could chime in on whether or not you think they're a good play in daily.
I think that the Falcons, one of the reasons that they lost to the Saints is because they didn't feed Devonta Freeman. And I think that that's kind of a learning experience. I mean, Devonta Freeman, every time he touched the ball, he was ripping off chunk yardage gains. Only had 13 carries. Tevin Coleman lost a fumble. So I think that the Falcons can kind of learn from that. They can see what Lamar Miller did against Tennessee last week. I agree with you that the Titans defense a little bit better than people think, but you certainly can run the ball on them. But they have played pretty good pass D. They're under Dick LeBeau. I like Devonta Freeman as a high floor, high upside play this week. And I think Julio, even though the matchup looks a little difficult on paper, just because the Titans have played pretty good pass defense by most metrics, I think Julio is a great tournament play in daily fantasy this week. You know, he gets that 10-day layoff after the Thursday night game. And I mean, he has just been, he's been a target machine regardless, you know, and now that he is going to be healthier, I really like him. Parrish Cox, the Titans right cornerback, suffered an injury last week, and I don't think he's going to play this week. That means that we should see a lot of Bleedy Ray Wilson, who is he's a moneymaker in fantasy football. And man, if Julio gets matched up with Bleedy Ray, I mean, it's going to get ugly for Tennessee.
Let's move on.
Next meal.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in our nation's capital to take on the Redskins. Bucks are coming off of a bye. Last time we saw them, Doug Martin had a big game. And, yep, you know, statistically, Evan, the Redskins' run D had been pretty good. But the last 2 weeks, Devontae Freeman and Chris Ivory just totally ran all over them. So I'm not giving them credit for that anymore.
Yeah, the thing with – and that's totally right. The thing with the Redskins is that they can't really put points on you. Like, they can't score a lot of points on – they can't build a lead. So they don't really have any way to protect themselves from teams. You know, even if they struggle running the ball early, they'll stick with it and they'll eventually start to break off big gains. And that's really what happened with Chris Ivory last week. I mean, Chris Ivory had – big gains the entire game, really. But they're going to face a lot of rushing attempts against because they just can't score a lot of points on offense. And Doug Martin should stay hot. It looks like Safarian Jenkins is not going to be back. So that week six bye should have served Mike Evans well. He's a guy that nobody is going to be on so far in daily. People have, you know, tried to play him so far, but he really has not paid off. You know, this is a team that last week, the Redskins last week, they gave up a touchdown and almost 70 yards to Eric Decker. They gave up over 100 yards, 7 catches and a touchdown to Brandon Marshall. You know, they're reeling with injuries in the back end. Their pass rush is probably mediocre, you know, and we saw them play good defense early in the season, but that started to kind of fall apart here in recent games. So I think the Bucs are pretty much all sneaky plays, and I like Mike Evans I like Mike Evans in this spot a lot.
So what about for the Redskins offensively, though? Because they're also banged up along the offensive line, which has hurt them. But this version of the Bucs defense isn't exactly the 85 Bears either. Are there any matchups or any plays that you like from the Redskins offensively?
Looks like no DeSean Jackson and no Pierre Garçon. I'm sorry, no DeSean Jackson and no Jordan Reed. So Pierre Garçon is, you know, basically a wide receiver two in fantasy almost any time that DeSean Jackson is out. You know, it's been that way. Pierre Garçon has been a little up and down early this season. But, you know, in Washington, when DeSean Jackson has not been there, overall, you know, with the big sample size, including 2013, Pierre Garçon has been, you know, he's a good fantasy start against the Buccaneers. Jamison Crowder as well. The Redskins design a lot of bubble screens to Jamison Crowder, and, you know, he'll get catches. He's certainly worth a look in PPR leagues. I don't know what the status is of Matt Jones, but my guess is that ends up only being a one-week injury. He comes back, and, you know, the Redskins backfield is a three-way timeshare again. Somebody might have a decent game, but, you know, you're kind of on your own trying to predict who that might be. Now, if Matt Jones misses another game, I think Alfred Morris becomes an underrated fantasy start. You can run on the Buccaneers.
Sounds like Pierre Garçon is a pretty good play for daily fantasy at a website like DraftKings.com, which is not only America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, it's my favorite one-week fantasy football site for multiple reasons. Number one, I signed up for it. Number two, it's easy to use on your phone, tablet, whatever. Number three, they're a sponsor of the podcast. What you can do at DraftKings.com, most of you guys have heard of this. You know what the deal is. My question would be, what are you waiting for? Aren't you just kind of itching to just see what it's like if you haven't tried it yet? Don't you just want to just see? I got a bunch of buddies that play that even when I'm with them on Monday nights, they'll show me their team and how they're doing, and they actually win money a decent amount of time. That could be you. Hurry to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code FEAST and you can play for free with your first deposit in this Sunday's $1 million fantasy football contest, where first place takes home $100,000. Just enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And again, our code is FEAST.
Next meal.
This is an intriguing one. Cowboys at the Giants. It's castle time, and at least the Cowboys are saying to us, it's Christian. His mom clarified how you pronounce his name after she spelled it C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. It's Christian Michael, looking like he might carry the load for the Cowboys.
I just call him C-Mike, but that's fine.
That's what his friends like you call him.
I think that this is a game where C-Mike, you know, he's got incredible running ability. He really does. I mean, I fell in love with him during his rookie preseason. He had just some amazing runs in those exhibition games, and he's just kind of leveled off and really never gotten better. And he was an underachiever in college as well, lost his starting job as a senior to a guy named Ben Molina, who is like a small little scat back who isn't even in the NFL. But the running ability on Christian Michael is incredible. It's just it has never really come together for him for whatever reason. You know, some of these guys who are blessed with so much God-given talent sometimes take it for granted, or you know whatever it is. But I he's just a classic boomer bust guy. You just got off the waiver wire, is getting an opportunity, and he's not going to play on passing down. So if the Giants score a lot of points against the Cowboys, you know, we're going to see Darren McFadden in there, and Christian Michael is going to end up with, you know, 11 carries for 37 yards, and he's not going to help you in fantasy. With that said, there are four teams on bye. You know, a lot of running backs have been duds this year. And if you were to rank the running backs for week seven, I mean, Christian Michael is probably a top 25 option. So, and the Giants run D, you know, we expected them entering the season to not be very good. They were very good in their first four games, but they haven't been very good in their last two games. So that maybe their lack of talent, their lack of personnel is starting to catch up with them a little bit. He's just a classic boomer bust guy. And, you know, you can put him in your lineup and hope. And if he does do well, you know, you might have a gem the rest of the season. And if he doesn't do well, you know, we could see them continue to rotate. Passing game wise, I mean, I don't expect anything different. There's probably no Dez. Matt Castle is maybe a slight upgrade on Brandon Weeden, but his role in the offense will be similar. Take care of the football. Don't give it to the other team. And, you know, there's not going to be passing game fireworks in Dallas until Tony Romo gets back, and he's not coming back till week 11.
What about for the Giants? They moved it pretty well against the Eagles Monday night, at least early. And then Larry Donnell, who, man, there's just something about him that rubs me. It just bothers me. Anyway, what about for the Giants?
What is it, Ross?
I just think he's soft. He had a nice catch against the Niners. I'll give him credit for that. Yeah. But he just, like, D'Amico Ryan just ripped the ball out of his hands. When you watch him block, he's just not a he's lacking grit. That's how I'll describe it. I just don't think he's got enough grit. Anyway, what about the Giants?
He's an atrocious blocker. Like, I don't
What's
watch
that?
Tight ends, you know, like watch their blocking, but he's atrocious. Like it stands
almost,
out.
There's almost no. It's interesting. I was talking to a tight ends coach recently about the lack of good blockers. And he said to me, that he thinks by far the best tight end in the NFL is Jason Witten overall. I said, what about Gronk? He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. But other than Gronk, he thinks Witten, you know, if you look at blocking, still receiving, which is pretty amazing because Witten doesn't move like he used to. But that's from a tight ends coach that all he does is watch tight ends all day, every day on tape. I thought that was pretty interesting, to say the least. Anyway, what do you got on the Giants in their matchup against the Cowboys?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're thinking about this from like a gambler's perspective, you know, the Eagles went on, or the Giants were playing really good football, went on the road, kind of got their butts handed to them in Philly. Now they're coming back home to face, you know, a team that they should be able to beat and has given up a lot of production defensively over its last three games. The Cowboys defense is better with Greg Hardy, and Randy Gregory will be back, and Rolando McClain will be back. But you know, the Giants know that too. And offensively, they scheme the ball. They scheme to get the ball out of Eli's hands quickly. Now it doesn't work every single game, you know, and we saw the Philly defensive line dominate the Giants offensive line on Monday night. But I think the Giants have a pretty solid game offensively here. I think that Eli Manning, regardless of what happened last week, is an every week fantasy starter. And pending the health of Odell Beckham, I mean, and I think that he should be fine. He played almost every snap this last week. You know, he should have a chance to go off. The Cowboys have some pieces up front for sure. Tyrone Crawford, Hardy, et cetera, Sean Lee. But their secondary is bad. I mean, their players in the secondary are bad. They lost Orlando Scandrick before the season. And you know, this could definitely be a big game for Odell Beckham.
Moving on.
Next meal.
The Eagles at the Carolina Panthers. Let's start with the Eagles. Still pretty ugly from Sam Bradford and the receivers, quite frankly. They did get DeMarco Murray going statistically. I still think when you watch him, Ryan Matthews is the better runner. It just, Murray does not look great running out of the gun. You know, it reminds me, talking to some Bengals personnel before the game on Sunday, they just said, and I think you had been all over this, Evan. They, you know what? In fact, I even mentioned your name because I had somebody say to me, you know, Jeremy's just more comfortable when he's back, you know, behind the quarterback and the quarterback's under center in Cincinnati. And I said, you know, I do his fantasy podcast, and that is what my co-host said. I said, it's amazing what the fantasy folks know. And I feel similarly about DeMarco Murray as I do about Jeremy Hill in that sense. He just doesn't look great running out of the gun, and he really doesn't look great on those wide sweep things they run.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't at all. But the production has been there. So, you know, and now it's in two straight games, and they're committed to him. Even though he might not be the best back on the team, he probably isn't the best back on the team for their running scheme. You know, they're committed to making him work. So he's going to get a lot of work. They're still running a lot of offensive plays. You know, Bradford, pretty much all of his games have been pretty ugly, even when he's had good box score games. And we used to say the same thing really about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez would, you know, emerge from games with a decent amount of fantasy points, but the actual on-field product was not very good. And that also happened at times with Nick Foles and even Michael Vick in that offense. So in this offense. So, but this is, you know, this is going to be a tough one. This game is in Philly, right?
No, Carolina.
Oh, it's in Carolina. Okay. Yeah, this is, man, I feel like it's going to be a low scoring game. I think that if you're looking at Sam Bradford and where to rank him and, you know, for fantasy this week, you'd be in that 10 to 14 range. DeMarco Murray, again, they're committed to getting the ball. So as long as he's racking up a ton of volume, you know, you got to keep him in your lineup. Jordan Matthews has been a disappointment, but he does have another good matchup. He really has a good matchup every single week. But, you know, this week it's another good one. The Panthers' perimeter cornerback play is really strong with Josh Norman and Charles Tillman. And then at slot corner, they have Benay Benwakir. And he has been sort of their weak link in coverage so far. Not that they
Benay Benwickery, by the way.
Benwickery, that's right.
Benwickery, that's right. Yep.
So from a matchup standpoint, Jordan Matthews should be good to go. It's just, you know, they don't really call plays for him in their offense. It's, you know, everybody tries to get open or you know, and it's, you know, he has not he's left a lot of plays on the field too. I mean, he dropped an 18-yard catch. He lost that fumble on Monday night. He's had a ton of drops this year. But he should – I mean, I would say that he's a wide receiver 2/3 in fantasy right now, and I think you keep him in your lineup.
What about for the Panthers? This Eagles defense right now is really no joke. So when you're talking Jay Stew, I mean, I'm assuming if you have Olsen, you play him. But I don't know. I mean, how do you like this matchup for Cam or any of the Carolina guys?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one for Jay Stew, but you know, they started giving him traditional goal line carries last week, so that's a positive. It wasn't all just Cam or Mike Tolbert. You know, and if Jonathan Stewart can score touchdowns, then that really helps him, obviously, in fantasy. The wide receivers are pretty much not even worth discussion. Devin Funchess has been pretty terrible for the Panthers this year. They rotate four guys through: Ted Ginn, Philly Brown, Cotchery, and Funchess. And, you know, none of them really have been able to find a rhythm with Cam, but Cam is balling out right now. And, you know, as much as this is a hard matchup for him, I mean, the Philly D line is nasty. Even as they have suffered so many injuries at inside linebacker, this rookie Jordan Hicks is a playmaker. You know, they have a ton of depth there, and they've been able to withstand those losses. I mean, this game feels like it could be 17-14, that kind of thing, based on how well the defenses have played.
Totally agree. Last but not least, Bri.
Next meal.
The Ravens are in Arizona on Monday night to take on the Cardinals, and I have to assume that this is the field day of all field days for Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, John Brown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You would think so. You would think so. The Ravens can't defend the pass, and that's because they've gotten, you know, I think something maybe wrong health-wise with Jimmy Smith. He also got paid before the season, you know, after he suffered that Liz Frank fracture. That's not a good combination. I mean, he hasn't been good this year. I think Pro Football Focus has charted Jimmy Smith with the most receiving yards allowed in the entire league. And then that's the guy that they're counting on to be their stud in the secondary. And then at number two corner and slot corner, they've rotated guys. You know, guys keep getting benched. Some guys will get hurt. Ladarius Webb didn't play last week. You know, and then they can't rush the passer either. Elvis Dumerville has a groin injury. They lost Terrell Suggs to an Achilles tear in week one. If you look at it from a gambler's perspective, Arizona coming off that road loss in Pittsburgh, headed back home to face a bad pass defense. You're right. Carson Palmer should light it up. And you mentioned Fitz and John Brown, and those guys have great, great week seven outlooks. And I think that Michael Floyd is a guy who has been overlooked because he wasn't really productive coming off that nasty preseason finger injury. But the last 2 weeks, he's been a starter. Last week, he played a season high 75% of the snaps. He saw 8 targets. He scored a touchdown. He almost scored 3 touchdowns. I think one got whistled back on an offensive pass interference. And the other one was he only got 1 foot in bounds, I want to say. You know, with 4 teams on bye and AJ Green on bye and, you know, the Packers receivers on bye, Michael Floyd, I think he's a strong fantasy play this week.
I think this was a strong fantasy play listening to this podcast. I learned a lot. Hopefully you guys did as well. It was so nice we'll do it twice. The AFC version we will record right now. You'll be able to access tomorrow on Thursday, October 22nd. Really appreciate anything you guys ever do to spread the word about this, whether it's just giving us a retweet or a like, social media. My Facebook is facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Or we'll more than happy to answer questions if you want to take advantage of some of our sponsors like DraftKings or Tommy John, which is so legit, I can't even tell you. Stick a fork in us, though, for this one. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
The Big Podcast with Shaq is huge this week as we're joined by the host of The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon.
I'd love to talk to you guys, and I love the podcast.
Welcome back to the Shaq Cast. Okay.
Keep doing it. Please keep making fun of us. This is so awesome to have you on. What's going on, brother?
We love it. You've always been a good sport with our show and late night and all this stuff. And we're going to do more bits on the show with you guys' permission. And we'll always let you know. And please, you know, you guys are always welcome to come here. We love you. I told you this before, but I really mean to come on whenever you want to. We just love it.
The Big Podcast with Shaq.
That's me. It's up right now at podcast1.com.